Good morning, church family. Suffering is not a respecter of persons. It reaches every nook and cranny of our world and affects every created being that is able to feel and express emotion. It rears its ugly head due to many untimely, tragic events and life situations such as natural disasters, mass shootings, wars, diseases, and self-harm, just to name a few. According to a recent comprehensive study done by the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia, suicide is a major public health issue, accounting for nearly 45,000 deaths in 2016 alone. Suicide rates have increased in nearly every state over the past two decades, and half of the states have seen suicide rates go up by more than 30%. Deborah Stone, a behavioral scientist at the CDC and lead author of the study, concluded, "Suicide in this country really is a problem that is impacted by many factors. It's not just a mental health or firearms concern. There are many different circumstances and factors that contribute to suicide." And so that's one of the things that this study really does show us. It points to the need for a comprehensive approach to prevention. And I am willing to assume that all of us here this morning have been affected by suicide in one way or another. And so those many factors that Stone refers to are deep and they are wide. Things like loneliness and unworthiness and shame, chronic illness, and life-altering crisis. Untimely suffering can be at the foundation of these life hurts, and at times, it can seem unbearable. Suffering also comes to us because of our own choices. Sometimes poor choices like addictions and mistreatment of others or an uncontrollable tongue can bring suffering our way. However, sometimes it's good choices like becoming a Christian or ethical practices in the business world or radical forgiveness that can bring suffering our way. On that last one, people of the world look at us willing to forgive someone who's hurt us, and they're at times confused about why we would do that. Why would you let them off the hook? Well, it's not a matter of letting them off the hook. It's a matter of forgiving them because we ourselves have been forgiven. But that kind of forgiveness can bring ridicule our way, which is a form of suffering. Suffering is not, one more time, it's not a respecter of persons, and no one, church, listen, no one deserves suffering. But it is an inescapable, temporary part of our current world. However, the good news is this: Jesus came and he suffered, he conquered death, and he reigns today in order to redeem the world and make all things new. That's the good news. And so Peter's main message in 1 Peter is one of hope and encouragement. And though we suffer now for a little while, God will soon restore all things. To God be the power and the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen. That's the good news. But it's that little while part that is sometimes difficult for us to accept and live out. That's why suffering, I believe, is one of the major themes in 1 Peter. The kind of suffering focused on throughout the letter is alienation, shame, slander, and other forms of abuse. Because you see, these new Christians receiving this letter were both Jewish and Gentile Christians scattered throughout much of what was then Asia Minor. According to the Apostle Peter, these believers were enduring verbal abuse designed to discredit and to shame them as social outsiders, endangering the common good of society. And so by publicly shaming them, unbelievers hoped to pressure Christians to conform to values and behaviors of the larger society. And so these Christians were suffering due to a positive decision that they had made to follow Jesus and to do their best to live out His kingdom way. So I believe that this series, Living Hope, Faith Lessons from 1 Peter, is timely for us because we live in times where social values and structures are changing at a rapid pace. As Christians in 2018, we too face pressures to conform to values and behaviors that are prevalent in our society. So this timeless letter, I believe, will help us in our faith journey by affirming our Christian identity, by guiding us in our relationships within and beyond the faith community, and reminding us to live out the kingdom way of Jesus. All the while, through Peter's message of hope, he encourages these believers to persevere through the suffering, trusting that their suffering was temporary and that a time was coming when God would make all things new once again. But here's the thing, as human beings, we too associate with suffering. Now, our source of suffering may be different to Peter's audience, but the question remains, how do we connect with them living in a world waiting for the same redemption of all things? It is true that we too face abusive treatment from others from time to time. Things like slander and gossip, favoritism, even bullying or hate. And then in addition to these things, we also face untimely and tragic life events that oftentimes rises out of those things are strong emotions of doubt and anger and fear, shame, loneliness, and unworthiness. From the CDC article earlier on suicide, one of their psychologists stated these words, "None of this is surprising information, which is not to trivialize its importance. I think it captures a lot of trends that we've been becoming more and more aware of over recent years. The effects of suicide go way beyond mental health issues and firearms to preventative practices like," you ready for this? "Community and education." Preventative practices like community and education. Now, if you're taking notes, I want you to listen to this and write this down. Suffering now and suffering then is connected by our human experience, and we need each other to persevere to the next day. We need each other to persevere to the next day. Peter knew that, and he also knew some other things. He knew some significant things as he opens up this letter. He knows that these new Christians are enduring great suffering. Number two, he knows suffering must be met with hope and encouragement. But number three, he also knows that Christians have a paradoxical weapon to combat suffering. So I want you to listen to verses 3 through 5 one more time, which is actually a doxology praising God for who He is, what He has done, and what He is going to do. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 3. "Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Peter starts his encouragement with a refreshing reminder of God's mercy and the new life that comes in Christ. These Christians have been born again, and that new birth provides a living hope. And so in light of the frequent suffering mentioned in this letter, it is their hope in Jesus that Peter believes will boost their confidence. You see, Jesus is the foundation of all hope because Jesus has been raised from the dead and He is alive. And so their hope, our hope today, can be described as a living hope because Jesus is alive and He reigns. Now, this hope that Peter talks about, it is not an abstract sense of optimism as we often use the word hope, but it is a confident expectation of a good outcome based upon the work of God. Next, their new birth leads to an inheritance, Peter says. Now, when someone receives an inheritance, it means that they are a part of a family, right? And it's likely that many of these Asia Minor new Christians had been alienated by their families, thus losing any earthly inheritance or family rights. And so without question, this would be cause for shame and probably even hopelessness. And so Peter is seeking to bolster their morale, and this inheritance that he qualifies as never perishing, never spoiling, never fading, it's something that cannot be taken away from them. It is made secure by God Himself, by God's power. Their inheritance, this spiritual inheritance through Christ, is kept in heaven for them, and by the way, for those of us today who are also disciples of Jesus. This inheritance is like the treasure that Jesus preached about in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, one that is stored up in heaven for you. And so it's by God's own power that this inheritance is kept secure, a power which they and which we can experience by faith. Matter of fact, all of this is possible only by God's merciful love and our faith in His merciful love. Of the five times that Peter mentions faith in this letter, three of those times is in this opening section, verses 5, 7, and 9. Faith is foundational to Peter's entire message. And for these Asia Minor Christians, there is great irony regarding their faith. Here's the paradox. It is their faith in Christ that has put them in jeopardy with respect to their society in the first place. But it is also that very faith in Christ that identifies them as legitimate heirs, which provides them great joy and eternal security. Did you ever think about, have you noticed that the Christian life embraces paradoxes? And I, for one, believe this is Jesus' fault. Jesus taught with irony as He painted pictures of what it meant to live out the kingdom way of God. For example, Jesus said, "Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for My sake will find it." Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. And one other of my favorites is found in Mark chapter 10. Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant." And so without question, the dynamic tension between Christians facing suffering while at the same time experiencing joyful lives of hopeful expectation is puzzling at best to a watching world. I want you to listen again to Peter's encouragement starting in verse 6. "In all of this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And so, church, here's the paradox for us. At times, faith can invite suffering. But suffering does not prevent joy. Rather, by faith, suffering gives place to rejoicing. By faith, suffering gives place to rejoicing. And so our faith in Christ that can bring suffering is also the gateway to great joy. And here's why I believe that's true. Because as Christians, we live expectantly and faithfully for the Lord. We live expectantly according to the promises of God while simultaneously faithfully facing the trials and temptations of life in the present. And on that journey toward Jesus, yes, there is suffering, but there is also great joy. I want to offer you a real-life paradox. It comes in the form of this human experience story that I want to share with you. Several years ago, a college friend of mine, Luke, let me know that his wife, Amy, had been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer of the appendix. And for 2 years, you just have to know that Amy fought hard against this terminal diagnosis. Her fight song for this journey was Overcomer by Mandisa. And to this day, when I hear that song come on the radio, I cannot help but see Amy's face and think about her fight, her journey. As a faithful Christian, loyal wife, Amy fought hard. She was also a godly mother of 2 beautiful girls. And as you might imagine, there was so much suffering and pain and even some anger throughout her journey. That suffering caused sorrow. It caused anger because of the shortness of her life. It caused doubt from time to time with their faith and what was going to happen in the future, and on you can just imagine all the sorrow and pain that the suffering caused. But one thing was true of Luke, and certainly it was true of Amy. Their joy in the Lord was a witness to the world as they walked this journey. Because no matter how bad she felt, no matter how angry she was, no matter what she was feeling, no matter the reality of her situation, in her suffering, there was still an inexpressible joy. And it was evident in her life. Just a few months before her death, over 300 people from their church showed up at their doorstep to bring church to them. Here's a picture of that moment. Someone caught this moment, and it's a beautiful picture of a little over 300 people outside their home bringing church to them. Now, Luke and Amy knew that their church was coming, and they were looking forward to it. But unfortunately, that afternoon, around 4:30 or so, she started feeling really bad. And as that time drew near, she was just kind of discouraged because she was so looking forward to people coming over. Luke later told me that she was expecting maybe like 30 to 50 people, but there were 300 people ready to worship God with her. And as that time drew near, it was about 30 minutes away, the Lord was gracious and He gave her a boost of energy and she started to feel better. And so when that knock on the door came, here's the picture that was captured. And I don't even have to tell you, right? You can see it on her face. There was great joy. Even amidst her great suffering, her smile says it all. I mean, this picture, I promise you, it punctuates Amy's heart and spirit all the way through her journey with cancer. And even before her journey with cancer, she just walked life with joy. And so for her and her family, yes, there was great suffering and there was great pain. But because of their faith in Jesus Christ, there was also great joy. And so it's true what Peter is trying to tell his recipients then, and what he's trying to tell us as disciples today. By faith, suffering can give place to great joy. Because here's the thing, Satan does not have the last word. Jesus has overcome death. And through His resurrection and glorification and imminent return, we too, in Christ, will defeat death. We too have an inheritance kept in heaven for us. And because of these things, there is great joy.